The Ausiedler Project was developed by Joanne Kerr, who was the director of AHSGR shortly after the fall of the Soviet Union. The goal of the project was to create a series of taped interviews with Germans who were born in German villages of the Soviet Union, endured the early trauma of Soviet policies, survived their exile, and ultimately immigrated to Germany. In German, the term Aussiedler can mean immigrant or evacuee, both of which could apply to those who arrived in Germany. Her goal was to preserve their stories. What follows is an excerpt from a taped interview with Johanna Schamber conducted in 1993. It includes his recollections about the Volga village of Degant. The interview is translated by Uta Brandenburg and the English narration done by Pastor Milt Ost.
The Graf Arlof, the Hattie comes.
Count Orlov took over the management of the settlers. He spoke German well and took over all of this. He organized the settlements, and after 3 years he reported to Catherine the Second on how each village had developed, and also about our village. And so he oversaw the oxen, the farms, and everything there, how it progressed. They had 12 houses, 38 cows, and 3 hauling oxen. Then we jump ahead to 1912. By 1912, there were 658 inhabitants. But by 1926, there were only 419 left. That was after the famine. The First World War, then typhus, and then the Civil War. And after that had passed, then there was 1921, yeah. But what cost the most lives in 1920 was typhus. It was so dangerous, entire families died out. And in 21, it was also brutal. In 21, it was especially difficult in the larger villages where there were many craftsmen. The farmers, as it was, had it good. They could somehow save themselves. But the craftsmen, like the tailors, the shoemakers, the carpenters, and so on, they had it hard. There was a factory next to the village during the war. Yeah, 50% of them starved to death. That was in 1921. There were many widows. Many men were killed at the front in the First World War. And then in the intervening years, if the husband was in the city, in the best years, he may have died of typhus or from the famine. My grandmother Brown, my mother's parents, they lived here. And then there were 2 Brown families, my mother's brothers Franciscus and Jacob. And my grandfather came from the other side of the Volga with his mother when he was a child. He worked here, and then he married his employer's daughter, my grandmother, and then he farmed here. And that's how it is. Many lived here their entire lives, but my grandfather, he had nothing. He was an orphan and had nothing. He didn't inherit anything. He married the daughter, and he worked, and then he died in 1912. First, we didn't know if he might make it. They didn't even have a doctor. Maybe he could have survived. Maybe. Who knows? But he died. And he had a nice farm, a nice house, 7 horses, and everything was good and plentiful. He had started with nothing. Yeah, they knew nothing but hard work all their lives. Then grandmother died in 1933. Grandfather had died long before, of course. She starved to death at age 82, worked so hard all her life, and starved. And then there was Uncle Jacob. He also starved. He had 12 children and starved in 1933. In general, many more lives were lost than in the Second World War, for example. In total, horrific. That was the second Brown family. And my mother's brother, Carl, he also died young. He was survived by a son. He had built him a small house here. In 1920 and 21, many wanted to go to America, but when they came to the Russian-Polish border by Minsk, that was near the border, my brother Joseph was with him. He wrote that they had arrived in Minsk, but they weren't allowed to cross the border. They stayed in a schoolhouse. It was right after the war, and there were no windows in it, and it was cold, with many people that typhus, colds, and hardship, and many people died. My oldest sister also wanted to go with Joseph, but he said you wouldn't have survived. It's good you didn't go. Now, Joseph made it across the border finally at Minsk. Poland had been evacuated during war times, and Poland became independent. Turned out a man and his son came from Poland, and the son had died. Somehow Joseph came to an agreement with a Pole. Yeah, maybe he paid him something. So Joseph impersonated his son, and that's how Joseph made it across the border. And also David, my other brother. He was with his wife, and he died there at the border. And the wife, with her child, made it to Germany, though they had no papers. And finally Joseph came to Germany. He was there for a year, worked for a farmer somewhere. And then my father has a half-brother. The father is the same, but he had a different mother. A brother in America, Michael. And that's why Jacob was there for a year. He had to wait for a guarantee. He needed a guarantee from America if he was to go there, someone will sponsor him. And until all that was ready, a year had passed. And then he arrived in America. After a year, he was there in 1922. He arrived in America in April, and there were Schoenfeld and Schomburg relatives. Schoenfelds are relatives of our mother, and Schomburg was our father's half-brother. And it was said he was well received there. But to tell more about it, Joseph did not do so well. First of all, he was 19 years old when he left home. He didn't understand the Russian language. He did not know English. And everything was foreign in a foreign country. And he had to leave Russia because of the circumstances. Yeah, I've written all this down. But this is how it was. Why did Joseph leave? In the Civil War, there were many who did not want to serve in the army. Because, for example, between Tsaritsyn, that was by Volgograd, and Saratov, they went back and forth. One day it was the Reds, the next day the Whites. And it kept going back and forth in the Civil War. If the Reds came along and your son served with the Whites, then they shot the parents. If the Whites came and the children served with the Reds, same story the other way. So the young people, the young boys, they just hid.
Da haben die Jugendlichen, die Jungs, die sind meistens haben sich versteckt, sortiert.
If you are interested in learning more about the Aussiedlers of Germany, there are two monographs available through the AHSGR store. One is the Aussiedler Tape Series Project. It includes translated interviews with Ella and Friedrich Wolf and Hulda and Jacob Dell. The other monograph is Memories of Aussiedlers. This monograph includes Aussiedler letters sent to AHSGR between 1996 and 1998. It includes memories of German life in villages and in exile. Thanks for listening.